Okay.
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now.
All right. Go ahead.
Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
I have done a substantial amount of work related to the impacts of CAFOs on karst landscapes. Last August, I gave sworn testimony before the Missouri Administrative Hearing Commission about a state permit to allow a beef CAFO with a capacity of 6,999 head on a 400-acre tract of land at Lone Jack, Missouri. That's up near Kansas City. Here are some important findings from that case. And this goes to the quality of work that is done in designing and planning for CAFOs. There are 880 homes within 3 miles of this proposed CAFO. This is suburbia. Please don't assume that CAFOs would only be located in lightly populated areas of Taney County. The animals would be housed in buildings with 17 acres of concrete floors. Feces and urine would be captured in wood chips. There were no planned berms at the edge of the floors, and all uncaptured liquids would simply discharge to the environment. On the best of Taney County pastures, you can have about one beef animal for every 3 acres on a year-round basis. Our soils and vegetation can generally handle that waste load. The density of animals at the CAFO would be over 1,000 times greater than this. The engineer who designed the CAFO, and who apparently designs many CAFOs from his office in South Dakota, calculated the amount of urine the wood chips could absorb based on their oven dry weight. That means no moisture in them. I have a couple degrees in forestry. I know something about wood chips, and on average, wood chips delivered already contain 39% moisture content. Sometimes it runs up to about 43%. So, clearly a gross error. CAFO regulations in force at the time required the facility to have 180 days of manure storage. If enough wood chips were used to absorb all of the waste, then the facility only had 40.6 days of storage. You need the storage so you're not applying it on frozen ground when it's raining and things like that. That's the reason for the storage. This CAFO, like many CAFOs planned for pollution-tolerant states like Missouri, is designed in such a way that it will pollute surface and groundwater and will not contain wastes on the properties owned or used by the CAFO. CAFOs are big industrial operations, not farms. They will hurt, not help, real farmers. They will create unsafe groundwater. They belong in arid areas with high evaporation rates and low rainfall. They don't belong in Taney County with our humid, wet climate and groundwater supplies that can easily be polluted. That is why I urge you to enact a health, safety, and public welfare ordinance that will ensure that Taney County can exert effective local control over the establishment of CAFOs and over lands where CAFOs would dispose of the enormous volumes of waste they generate. Do you have any questions?
I don't.
Thank you very much for your time. Let me give you some copies of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Campbell, I just want to thank you for... I didn't know anything about it really until you sent us the email out going on, what, a week and a half or so ago? Mm-hmm. And so just thank you for bringing it to our attention.
I wanted to bring it to our attention. I don't know if there is an ordinance already in place with CAFOs, so we need to investigate.
We've already got somebody looking on that, so.
Yep.
Yep, they've already, she's looking right now to see if we have anything already in place, so. But again, go ahead.
Moreover to what Pat said, I hope we do have a previous ordinance, but the feedback that we're getting is that zoning type things and anti-CAFO type things will help, but the only thing that has a chance of standing up is a health ordinance, whether it's challenged or not. So I think it's better to be overprotected than underprotected. I hope to goodness he's right.
Right, and I don't disagree with that.
But the health ordinance appears to be what is getting the counties through, the not zoning or anything else. So.
The other thing I would add to that, though, is the main fix, and we can do an ordinance. I think our plan is to do an ordinance, just so you guys know. Again, after you sent me that information, I immediately sent it to county attorney and said, hey, we need to look into this, see what we can do. But the other main thing that we need to do is we really need to get the legislation to change it.
Oh, absolutely.
So at the state level, you know, they're the ones that caused the problem. They can fix the problem.
Absolutely.
So whenever
the counties working together can really help.
Right. So my question to you guys is, after that meeting on Thursday, what was the response from any of our legislators that were there?
I think they were embarrassed, the ones we talked to, and ashamed that they voted for it. But they're at a loss as to what to do now. I mean, it passed. I don't think they knew what they were voting for.
Okay.
And so now they see the ramifications, and I think the trickle-down effect, I think it's happening in all the counties. There's a revolt, but I don't know yet. It's been so fast. What's going to happen? I think it will be challenged. I think Senate Bill 391 will be challenged, and I think there are efforts in place now to challenge it.
And we're also hearing of efforts to even repeal that. I don't know where they'll go, but I agree that countywide effort is not just countywide, but
right.
statewide
with the
statewide effort.
We've got a board meeting coming up August. The Missouri Association of Counties has a board meeting coming up August 6th. So I'll definitely bring it up. I'm on that board. I'll definitely bring it up then and find out. There really wasn't a lot of emphasis put on this during those board meetings, which kind of makes me wonder as to why. Because typically we talk about, you know, any pressing issues going on statewide. MAC is essentially our lobbyist, the county's lobbyist, to, you know, to present to the legislation. So why they decided not to take any action, pro or against, I find curious. So I'll find out.
It's a great overreach of the state to take away the county's rights to own their own property.
Right.
Can I speak to this? Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Sheila Wyatt. I was reading the Knox ordinance when I was on the plane. If our attorney hasn't already, I think it'd be a good basics to start. And in the meantime, I think we need to stay in close touch with the Department of Natural Resources and Missouri Water Association, who is in charge in between, so that we know if there's any applications been done for Taney County at the very beginning. And then we need to issue, let them have the reports that have been presented to you gentlemen there today, which I will look at, because in looking over the complaints that are filed on the DNR, it takes years, it seems like to me. If once one comes in and you find that there are, the regulations have not been followed, it is still happening to the water and to the soil. So we need to be in front of it with DNR and to know if there are any applications, is my opinion.
Now, the Buffalo River, the CAFO that's on that, I find it interesting that the state was acting as if, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the mirror or behind the curtain, and then all of a sudden they're paying them $6.2 million to leave. That bothers me.
It was a catastrophe, and it's still happening.
Right. Yeah, I think they had 180 days to leave, and they haven't left yet, but it's still within their time frame of having to leave. So
it's almost like they're blackmailing the state, because I did talk to Jesse this week, Jesse Green, and she said the reason the $6.2 million hasn't transferred yet is because they're reneging on the contract and demanding more money.
Okay.
Whoa.
And I assumed it was because they hadn't left yet. They, you know, they gave them so many days to actually leave,
and
they haven't left yet, so.
7,000 gallons of raw sewage a day going into the Buffalo River. We don't need that problem.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
So a health ordinance might be I hope that CAFO has already been passed, but a health ordinance might be sort of an added layer of protection that we could maybe use right now, since we might wind up in a state battle on this?
But yeah, again, our in discussions, you know, that we've had with you and with each other during some budget stuff and some different things with, or not budget stuff, excuse me, with daily staff review. Anyways, I'm pretty sure, and Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're not in favor of, I'm pretty sure we're all in favor of doing some sort of ordinance.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That's all right, and trying to make sure that we can do whatever we can to protect, like you said.
And quickly.
And quickly,
yeah. Quickly to help the other counties.
Hey, Sheila, they said, I don't know if you caught, Sheriff Russell said that there may be a ordinance already in place.
I've not been told that we have an ordinance in place. I didn't know that our county clerk had found one, and I didn't hear. The only person I heard speak was Tom Ailey in the middle of his. I just got here at that time. So I'll listen to everything when I get there this evening, but I'm 100%. I think our attorney knows we're wanting him to look at it, and I hope that maybe we can have something to look at this week and go over it and it be discussed, and I would hope to be voted on, but within the next week or two at the latest, okay, is my opinion.
Now, this is the Howard County.
Well, the ideal situation is to have a ban on it in the first place. And then you have to deal with regulation, you don't have to deal with oversight, you don't have to deal with potential problems. Our forefathers, if they put that in, were very smart. If we had a ban, that would be even better.
Go ahead.
Gentlemen, my name is Luke Barnett. I live at 257 Gobbler's Knob, Hollister, Missouri. I work for the College of the Ozarks. I manage the hog farm and also the feed mill. My family has been in Taney County for over 100 years. We have a century farm. Just to outside Power Site, Missouri. I'm fortunate in that I'm still able to be involved in production agriculture through the college. I think that there's been a few things not brought to the light in this discussion, in that Missouri for about the last 20 years has had, I believe, right at 500 CAFOs. 20 of those are, I believe, the Class 1A, the very large. The 400 are Class 1C, which are the smaller, and then the other 80 or so are in that mid-ground. Many of these CAFOs are owned by farmers. 97% of all agriculture in the state of Missouri is a family-owned operation. Many of those are corporations because of risk limitations, just like insurance. To say that a practice should be banned, I don't agree with. I don't agree with limiting a local governing body's abilities. But I'm not aware of a peer-reviewed scientific research stating the water quality decrease in areas where CAFOs are at. I know there's, in any kind of permitted practice, there's always going to be lawbreakers and rule breakers, and I believe that they should be held to the full extent of the law and punished accordingly. To say that there's no permitting on a CAFO, I just found out about this late Friday night, early Saturday morning, so my research is not quite what it should be. But I know CAFOs are permitted on a case-by-case basis, and that permitting comes